Well, it's public transport today. What's happened?
We had a very bad blowout driving back to Dublin. I'm just very glad we're here today. We didn't really realise the extent of it till this morning.
Dana's with three other people, and before she starts pressing the flesh, she explains in more detail about what happened to her car.
Well, the AA man last night said it was a blowout. They just really urged us to get an opinion on the tyre. It had puncture marks all the way around it, between 12 and 15.
The guards are investigating it now. Have you been threatened in any other way during this campaign?
We've received a very malicious email.
What kind of things were written in that?
The bitch is getting what she deserves.
Keen, what can you see? What can you tell us?
Well, at the moment, I'm looking up towards the bridge. The road is closed. It's been closed since early this morning, and Gardaí are stopping traffic and they're diverting it because they're too cars stuck. And the scene I was greeted with this morning was a man climbing out of the sunroof of his car and a bus picking him up, and the two people in the car with him being rescued by Dublin Bus. But just around the corner from where I'm at the moment, there's lots of water damage at Greenmount Avenue. There's a row of about 10 houses there. Fire services rescued them last night at about 11 o'clock. Now, some of the people decided to stay in their homes. They wanted to stay overnight there. But also as well, parts of Our Lady's Hospice at Harold's Cross have been flooded. Boyne Court Apartments just off Greenmount Avenue down here at Harold's Cross as well, underwater. Lots of cars damaged. It's a terrible scene, really. But this morning, at about 7 o'clock, I met Pat Gavin. He owns a business here, and he was wading through the water, so I joined him as he went to check out whether or not his premises had been damaged.
So I'm hoping for the best, but who knows?
It is bad.
It is indeed.
Are you going to make it in your wellies? It's just hitting the top of your wellies there.
Just about, yeah.
I can feel the cold shooting up through my feet here.
Yeah, well, I think I better face the worst. It's gonna go in the tops of them, all right. It's getting deeper.
I just need to roll up my trousers here a bit. You can see in the estates around here that they're all flooded out. A lot of cars ruined there.
There's going to be a lot of damage from this. Surely is.
This is a total mess.
I don't expect to see too many staff in this morning with this.
As you huddle around the torn silence, each by this lonely deed, exiled to a solitary confinement of soul, may some small glow from what has been lost return like the kindness of candlelight. And may your lost loved one enter into the beauty of eternal tranquility, in that place where there is no more sorrow or separation or mourning or tears.
You read this out in court earlier on today for one of the families.
That's right.
Why did you think it was important to read out?
This particular one was where a young 21-year-old had taken his life. Well, I just was looking at the body language of the family and I felt that they were very, very distressed, and I just wanted to give some comfort to the family, and I felt that John O'Donoghue's words might do that for them.
There's a broad spectrum of ages in the court today. Is this typical of what you'd see, or has it changed over the course of time?
When I started, the age profile would have been in the 60s mainly, or 70s, elderly people in isolated maybe farmhouses, that type of thing. Now it's a whole spectrum of society. Teenagers, young people in the sense of early 20s, middle-aged people in crisis, and the elderly, right across the social spectrum. Well, certainly in the last number of years, I have seen cases which I would definitely put down to pressure as a result of the economic crisis. Directly or indirectly, maybe pressure from a bank, pressure from the revenue commissioners, might have been the last straw, so to speak. The numbers certainly have increased dramatically in recent years. Definitely the age profile and the social background has expanded right across the social spectrum of the nation.
It's like every town, I suppose, when something like that happens, it hurts everyone.
Today has been a devastating day, not just for the immediate families, but particularly, I think, for the wider community.
People living in Bagnallstown are stunned and bewildered.
Unbelievable, I can't believe what happened.
Although both men lived only a few kilometres away in the townland of Ballycormack,
They did most of their business in Bagnallstown.
They were both clients of mine. I work as a veterinary surgeon here in the town.
Local vet Jeremiah Ahern, like many others in the area, had seen both men recently.
About a fortnight ago I met one of them. He'd have been in to get a yaw looked after in the clinic, and he was in great form.
George Rothwell, what kind of man was he?
Well, George was a very decent farmer, very able farmer.
And what kind of farming mostly did he do?
Mostly sheep and beef he did.
Michael Jordan?
He had sucklers and beef and sheep.
The farming community here, what were people saying to you during the course of the day?
Absolutely stunned. Couldn't believe what had happened.
Are you comfortable enough using your names or
no
names? Okay. The locals again will talk on tape, but they're too afraid to give their names.
Well, I don't think there's anyone in this estate who's going to stand up and publicly announce who they are and give interviews. I think it'd be crazy, to be honest with you. Reprisals can come from anywhere, and that's, I suppose, it's not known where they could come from. The area is in bits. To a certain degree, society stops when it comes to some places like this. People are left on their own to do their own thing. Once that happens, you're going to get elements of crime and things like that stepping up on children who think they can do what they want and get away with it. People thought I was a rat because I was trying to help out. I was part of the local estate management and I helped start with football clubs and all, but I've had my cars vandalised on numerous of occasions because of the dealings with the council and things like that. People don't know necessarily what you were doing. They just think you're a rat. They think you're talking to people. So I just stood down. I had to.
99.9% of the people who live here are good, honest people. It's midterm break. We're in the middle of midterm break here at the moment and there's no kids on the road.
Are you stopping them from going out?
Well, basically, yeah, absolutely. I don't want my kids on the road when this is going on. I think as far as the media is concerned, they have their own agenda and they're trying to sell newspapers. A day and a half after the incident, they were gone. You're the only person who came back to see what's the reaction of people afterwards. This is not finished. I don't think this is the end of it by no stretch of the imagination. I think the media could be back again here. Hopefully, please God, they're not. But they could be in the next world because the guards are certainly expecting something. They're not going around with. The guards aren't patrolling the area with guns for the good of their health.
It's not a really big deal to me because I've had it all my life. And I think it's fine. It's just I don't really like if people laugh. Because one day I was in the car and Mum went into the shop and there was a few boys and they looked at me and then I saw them going into the shop and they started laughing. So it wasn't really a good feeling when they did that.
But of course your friends would never do that.
Yeah, because when I'm at Ballygarrett School, when I moved there, like, I sent out a note saying about me and everyone learnt about alopecia, so they never teased me. No one out of 208 people. If I wanted, I could have short hair or long hair or even pink hair. And I love having alopecia. You don't get head lice and it doesn't hurt when you brush your hair and you can have any style of hair you want.
The Rapunzel Foundation is run by Anna Furlong from her hair salon in New Ross.
The idea of the foundation is primarily started off to collect hair to send to New Zealand towards making wigs for children or adults.
But I knew once I saw the tally figures coming in that I wasn't going to get elected. But I just decided then and there on that Saturday of the count that this is what I wanted to go back to. It's €35 per person. That's from 12 o'clock until 4 by the time people meet here and then we go to our destination, 2-hour walk and then back for a nice tea.
Some people might say, sure, it's a pity about you losing your job and you get a big severance payment. Is that the case? Have used some of that money to set up this business?
Well, I don't get any ministerial pension because I wasn't there long enough. And as a first-time TD, I have a very small pension when I get to pension age. And I'm very grateful for that.
And did you get a lump sum?
Well, we got a termination lump sum, which is a small lump sum for a 3.5-year-old TD. And I have put some of that into savings, obviously, because I've got to look to the future. The lump sum was $15,000.
As a country, if we're to move forward, we need to think small.
Well, Yeats once said we were a nation of shopkeepers. I think we're a nation of entrepreneurs. And I think we can really create dynamic businesses and industries by people thinking. And often when your back is against the wall, and my back was against the wall in February, I said, that's it, I'm going to do something different. Get up and go. And I've got up and I'm going there.
But if the party is trying to change its image and rebuild trust with voters, what way does Willie O'Dea think his decision to accept a ministerial severance payment went down with the general public?
Well, I don't know what the issue is about my severance payment. I mean, every minister that ever retired before the last election of all parties were entitled to a severance payment, which they got. I mean, I got a severance payment, and I'd say unusually, I gave away a lot of it. And secondly, I actually employed an extra member of staff in my own constituency office. So every penny of my severance payment went back to my constituents. I mean, insofar as the people of Limerick are concerned who know me and who see me working for them and on the street and amongst them every day, I don't think they'll have any particular issues with that.
Gangs abuse, causing havoc, setting fire to buildings, local shops, breaking down pubs.
Alex McLeod is taking stock of the damage done in Ealing in West London.
BBU's been boarded up. Vandalism, violence, burning people's property, stealing from homes, burning cars from different parts of the area. And the government got to take a full stand of responsibility for their actions, why they've left it so late to delay to actually do anything about it.
Ealing Green supermarket across the road from where he's talking is destroyed by fire, and it's now being cordoned off by police.
People's businesses have been destroyed. I could do a better job than Cameron at the moment for half the cost.
We're going to City West and Cian McCormack.
Well, the wind is very definitely behind Michael D. Higgins here at City West. There are six constituencies, Dublin South West. The final tally is showing Michael D. Higgins with about 40% of the vote. Sean Gallagher, 22%. Martin McGuinness is at about 16%. David Norris 10%, Gay Mitchell 6%, Mary Davis 3%, and Dana 2%. That trend continues.
What does your heart say to you now?
Well, if you give me 2 seconds, I'll be in floods of tears, but I don't want to do that in public. So yes, that's what my heart, on the one hand, a sad day to be leaving, and particularly to be leaving such a great team, of a wonderful team in the Arras, and to be leaving all the people who are my friends and colleagues and have been, you know, for the last 14 years, that's going to be quite difficult. But I also have a great sense of gratitude. I mean, it was just a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to waking up every morning to be the country's primary ambassador and to love every day of it. I've been very, very grateful for that. So gratitude and sadness, I think pretty much in equal measure today.
Cian McCormack is back with us again. He's on the road this week seeing how people are holding things together during the economic slump. Cian, we heard from people in Mullingar earlier, but you're in our Athlone studio this morning and you've been finding out how the town is coping. What's the feeling there ahead of the budget?
Well, Gavin, people are being cautious because at the weekend, Athlone town centre was packed with families. People were there to meet Santa Claus, who had just arrived, but they were telling me they're not spending money. They're really waiting to see what happens in the budget.
Kind of worried about what way the tax is going. And obviously the VAT has gone up, so the purchases we make at Christmas are going to be dearer. It'll affect your pocket.
What are things like in Athlone at the moment?
It's a bit quieter than usual. A lot of the shops are closing down and you see signs for sale and to let, and that's the way it's gone. It's probably every town in the country is the same.
What do you do?
I'm unemployed at the moment. I was earning 50,000 year per year. So to go to nothing is a big shock. I was in construction and my days start dwindling down. So I decided to stay at home. So I'm a stay at home dad. My wife is a teacher, so she got her cuts. Last year, I think they got cut fairly bad. So I'm hoping in the budget, they're not going to cut her this year. She's supporting the family, basically, you know.
How would you assess the mood in Ireland at the moment towards whatever cuts are coming down the line?
Everyone's angry, fed up. So I think probably are basically resigned to what they're going to get. There's nothing really they can do about it. That's the way it's going. But there could be a revolution in the new year. People could take to the streets and picket and whatever. But I don't know what that achieve.
Such a tight fiscal deficit that is going to mean austerity for decades to come.
Over the next hour, after passing through countless gates and knocking on doors, they encounter no voters angry with the government. Yes voters who think accepting the treaty is the best way forward, and undecided voters who aren't sure what they're voting on at all.
Since most parties are saying vote yes,
I have a higher chance of believing her than the No campaign at the moment.
So it's down to who you trust rather than any particular philosophy.
On one of the first doorsteps, Bernard Carl is debating furiously with Robert Trench, who's involved with the German-Irish Chamber of Commerce.
I suppose I'm looking at it in terms of trade. I'm looking at it in terms of our tax protection.
You sound like you've definitely made up your mind.
Well, when you're in a room full of company owners and business people and they're all pro for it, to me, that sends a message that business needs a yes vote. And that's what's keeping the economy going is actually companies.
The fact that the German Reichstag itself has decided not to endorse this treaty.
I can't comment on what other European countries are doing. All I can comment is on...
I'm coming at that because you said you're a member of the German...
But I don't think that you're going to agree on where you're coming from. It was lovely to meet you, so thanks very much. Okay.
Richard Boyd Barrett joins the canvas at about 7 o'clock.
Hiya, sorry for disturbing you.
The first house he knocks at is Paul Ellard's.
Well, not so much down the middle, but definitely leaning towards not bothering now, and it's slight chance to do a yes until he kind of, you know what I mean? Yeah, not happy with what's happened the last few years anyway.
Paul Ellard is with his 19-year-old daughter, Cara.
I don't really know what's happening, so I'm going to vote no, because I don't know really. It's kind of our future that people are voting on now, so...
Does your dad influence your vote?
No, we haven't really talked about it together.
You're joking.
Kermit the Frog, or Miss Piggy, when she used to go cha and hit him across the face, like you'd always remember that, you know, and it'd still kind of bring a smile to your face, you know.
Phenomena.
Vaguely remember them, yeah.
What do you remember about them?
Not an awful lot about them, yeah. Kermit the Frog, very young when they were out.
Very young. What age are you now?
26.
I used to watch the Muppets as a kid, all right, yeah. I wasn't aware there's a new movie out. I was a big fan of Statler and Waldorf, you know, the two old men that were always heckling.
The medium sketch?
Yeah, it wasn't rare and it certainly wasn't well done.
Miss Piggy fighting with Kermit, you know, that kind of thing. But... but it's funny, it's just sort of vague, sort of happy memories about it, but nothing specific.
Phenomena.
It's the Muppet Show!
Remembering the Muppets and loving them depends on your age.
Back in the day, it was on every Sunday. So we saw it every Sunday. We grew up with these characters.
Michael Doherty, the RTÉ Guide's entertainment editor, says the new film will appeal to different ages.
Kids will love it because, it's like I say, it's colourful, they're puppets. The 30-40s are just quids in. This is the iconic, the return of the icons. For that middle ground, they've padded it out with a lot of two-legged cameos, a lot of humans who will appeal to that generation, to that demographic. So you've got Selena Gomez. You've got actors from some of the top shows at the moment, like Modern Family, and guys who people in their 20s will know. But really and truly, it's about if you're 35 plus, you'll really get this, you'll just lap it up.
We're trying to get the old gang back together again.
We haven't done this in a long time.
Your fans never left you, the world hasn't forgotten. Sure, it's impossible, but we've got to try. It's time to play the music.
It's time to light the lights.
It's time to meet the Muppets.
And I've met some cinematic icons in my time, but when I sat there last week in London and the guy came out to me and said, Miss Piggy will see you now, I definitely did get a chill that wasn't even there when I met Meryl Streep and George Clooney and the like. When you meet Miss Piggy and Kermit, you know you've made it in your profession.
Even our best loved Irish puppets have opinions about the Muppets. First, Dustin the Turkey.
Ah, the Muppets. I mean, like, Kermit's the godfather. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I bow down to the Frog, you know what I mean? It's basically, we watch the Muppets and nobody does it better. I mean, the jokes aren't supposed to work. That's what we did in the Den as well, you know? So we got a lot of influence from the Muppets.
Will you go to see the film now?
Ah, definitely, yeah. Me and Gran, you show again. We're only up last night talking about it in bed. And I said, Gran, we have to go and see that. And she said, you're dead right, Dustin, we will.
For Bosco, there's an attraction too.
I love them. I love watching them. My favourite is
Muppet Treasure Island.
When you were on television performing for all the boys and girls in Ireland who are now fairly well grown up, you must have been watching the Muppets. Did you ever take anything from the way they performed?
I'm just Bosco and they're the Muppets.